On this very important topic of marriage, it's real given us license this morning to focus on something that is so central in the Word of God, and we often don't make or give it enough emphasis as we should as believers, because even as I said during communion, you know, the whole thing centers around a marriage, the whole Jesus and his bride. Yes, and we are the bride. If you're a believer in Jesus, we're the bride of Christ. Yes, and there's a wedding coming. Amen. And that betrothal has taken place, was shed through the blood of Jesus. And by God's grace, you have accepted that wonderful truth. So I wanted to just share with us very briefly this morning some wonderful pearls of wisdom. Mike just shared one there that was so profound as well and comical. But some wonderful pearls of wisdom that I have found regarding marriage. Now, there's many people like Graham here and others who have been married many, many, many more years. I have a lot more life experience. But some of the things I've discovered and things that people have said. So, some marriage tips, okay? Question here. Why do married people live longer than single people? Some say they think it's because married people make special effort to live longer than their partner just so that they can have the last word. Yeah. Another pearl of wisdom. Marriage is a relationship where one person is always right, and the other person is the husband. Yeah. The most effective way to remember your wedding anniversary, gents, is to forget it once. A silent husband is a thinking husband. A silent wife is usually mad. Yeah. One for the ladies to remember. Always remember, the best way to get your husband to do something is to tell the man maybe he's too old to do it. Ooh. That'll really get them into action, yes. But of course, we don't want to forget the singles. There are single people here this morning, okay? Looking forward to one day getting married. And there's some great pickup lines that I found. Some good, solid Christian ones, okay? Christian pickup lines you can freely use. Choose to use them or not, but I'll give them to you free of charge this morning, okay? Pickup line you can say, woman or men, but a woman can say this to a man, say, I believe one of my ribs belong to you. Gents, you can say this to a lovely lady. Is your name Faith? Because you're the substance of things I've hoped for. Ooh, cheesy. Sweep her off her feet. So last night I was reading in the book of Numbers, and I realized I don't have yours. This is one of my favorites. You're so unblemished, I'd sacrifice you. Last one for the single people. If I walk around you 7 times, will you fall for me? Try them, it may work. It may not. That was my advice to you this morning. But many, many, many funny stories, many interesting stories comes out of marriage. For anyone who's been married for some years, you'll know the joys, the challenges, the ups and the downs, but just the amazing significance of it. And as I said this morning, marriage is something God-given. We must never forget this. This was God's thing. Marriage is not a man-made thing, okay? And it comes from God. It carries huge prophetic significance, as I'll hopefully share with you just very briefly this morning. So if you've got your Bibles, please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Now, it's interesting when Paul, the Apostle Paul, writes about marriage, he was never married, okay? In fact, he was quite a good voice for those to remain single and serve the Lord, okay? He would say, but of course, he didn't downplay marriage. If, you know, if you find a wife, you find a good thing. Yeah, I found a very good thing. I praise God for my lovely wife. I'd be lost without her. But Paul himself was never married, but he does speak about marriage. And it's quite interesting here in Ephesians chapter 5 from verse 22. We'll read this through, look at a few things, and hopefully we'll look at 1 Peter 3 as well. But he says here, and he's talking in context about walking in wisdom. He's talking about a submission and authority. As one great teacher once said, you know, all of society, whether we like it or not, depends on two great pillars. There's got to be authority and there's got to be submission. Okay? And a lot of people don't like those words, but if you take those two pillars out from society, you collapse into chaos. It's just simply true. And so Paul is also teaching about authority and how we are to respect authority, different ranks in the world, how to obey the governors and the leaders and the people over us. As far as they don't make us compromise on our faith, we are to obey. We are to be good citizens and learn how to submit. And then in that same vein, he talks here from verse 22 to the wives. Okay? He says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, we're not off the hook here. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, talking about Jesus and his church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And for this reason, he quotes from the Old Testament, from this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Paul says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So there we can see the Apostle Paul talking here about marriage, very clearly making the whole mystery is all about Christ and the church. So this is true of any married couple, anyone who enters into that covenant of marriage, whether they like it or not, they are entering into a prophetic picture of Jesus and his church. So God gave human beings, okay? And so it's huge. So this is why we can sit up and take notice in the world today, modern world, marriage is under a lot of attack, yes? And for anyone who's married, believers, unbelievers, they know there are great challenges that come with marriage. Because there's a devotion, there's a giving of yourself, there's a two becoming one flesh. It's you forsaking the old ways, old girlfriends and boyfriends, as it were, and being faithful in perfect unity with this one person for the rest of your life until death do us part. Okay? A covenant that should not be broken. But he says this concerning Jesus and his church. And you can see why when the world is trying to pervert marriage, okay, the way it's trying to do now, you can see, I believe, the satanic influence trying to damage this very message that God has given to humanity. It is wonderful that marriage is, but it speaks of Christ and his church. And he is no unfaithful husband. He is faithful. He has laid down his life for his church. And that is why Paul could say, you husbands, you love your wives as Christ loves the church, giving himself for her. This is a huge, huge thing. And of course, in today's modern world, verse 22 is a great challenge to many ladies today, isn't it? Yeah? Submit to my husband. I hate that word, submission. Okay? Many people really struggle with that word. But if we can just remove all the political nonsense and all the stuff around that and all the hype, and again, just remember in society, there are two pillars, authority and submission to it. Yes? And think of somebody who's in military ranks, as it were. At any time, they have to be in a place of submission to those who are above them. But at any time in the military now, they could be in a higher position and other people would have to submit to them. So people in military generally get this idea. Okay? But it says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. And you know, it's a beautiful thing when this is done right. As to the Lord, not in the eyes of the world, not in the way the world thinks of it in a negative way. I must just be a submissive little whatever in the corner here while my husband dictates to me everything that I must do and must not do. Okay? That's the way the world kind of always tries to portray it. Oh, no, we don't want that. Bible's old-fashioned. That doesn't work. But if you see it for what it is, it'll just, everything will begin to make sense. And Paul is making this point very clearly. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband, and this is huge for husbands here this morning, okay, is the head of the wife. As also Christ is head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Wow. Husbands, it's a pretty tough calling, okay? We've got a lot that we've got to think about here. When we look at Jesus and we know what he has done, what he is doing for his church. And that's why he says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. So Jesus is constantly sanctifying his church, teaching her, perfecting her, even through the trials and the tribulations that we go through. He's doing something in this, but he is the savior of that body, yes? And we look unto him. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And as husbands, we are to, in some way, portray that in our households. That we are like the savior of the household, not to, you know, spiritual salvation, but that we are the leader of the household and we make a safe environment, okay, where there is love and there's flourishing and there's the washing of the water of the word. God's word has got to be central. And I love what Bible preacher Angus Buchan once said in South Africa. He said, fathers, he said, you don't just take your children to church and tell them to go to church, but you don't do it yourself. Don't tell them to read the Bible and do all these godly things, but you don't do it yourself. And he used to say to the men, he used to say, I implore you, when you get the Bible out, open the door, let your children see you. Let them see you pray. Let them see you read the Word of God. Not because you're pretending, but let them see that this is essential for the running of this household. And as Joshua said, you know, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's a decision the men are going to make, Christian men in the household, okay? And so this is a challenge for us. This is a challenge for ladies today, because what happens when your husband is not a believer? Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, please. 1 Peter chapter 3. Now remember, Paul wasn't married, but he understood marriage in context of the spiritual truth around it. Peter, on the other hand, was married. Okay, and he understood the nitty-gritty and the fundamentals and all those things. And so he has something to say about marriage too. 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, how does he open? Says again, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands. Ooh, there it is again. That even if some do not obey the word, in other words, if your husband's not a believer, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. Here's a huge challenge. How? But when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, it's like a reverence, a place of understanding what the role is of the woman, okay? And he goes on, he says to them, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. That scripture there, ladies, is huge for you. Because there's something there that God sees in the woman that is very precious in the sight of God. And what is that? It is a quiet, a gentle, and a quiet spirit. Okay? Now, many times people interpret that as just somebody who's quiet and they don't say much. I don't think it's that at all. Okay? Because our ladies are very chatty and can be very loud and whatever. Okay? As men can do also. Okay, But that's not what it means. A quiet, a gentle and a quiet spirit. Okay, this is huge. And this is precious in the sight of God. So this is something that the ladies can do, if you like, or live out, that you know is precious in the sight of God. I mean, other places in the Bible where it says it so clearly. And it's reserved for women. What is this gentle and quiet spirit? Well, I think in context, it's this understanding of who you are under God, under His ways, in His order. And you submit to God's ways. My friends, can I say to us, okay, the world would have it every other way. But when we, all of us, men and women included, we submit to God's ways and we surrender to Him, you see the blessings flow. You see God's order, as it were, in households. You see the things that God has ordained. They are not there to keep us in a straitjacket, okay? That we have to be restricted in any way, as it were. That is when we are truly free, is when we submit to God's ways. And that is why in Isaiah 59, it says it's your iniquities. If there's things that is wrong in your life that has separated you from God, when we get it wrong, then things begin to that relationship, as it were, breaks down, as it were. Okay? So this is very precious in the sight of God. And then he says in verse 5, "For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord." Ooh, I tried that with Renee once. She'd bring me my tea or my coffee, and I'll be, "Here's your tea or coffee." I said, "No, here's your tea and coffee, my Lord." Didn't go down well, okay? So I hope we know, wives, you don't have to call your husband Lord. It's just the understanding in this context, again, the headship and authority thing here in the household, okay? And I hope we understand that. And I know that there are many cases, perhaps even in this room, where marriages have been utterly awful. Maybe if you've got an abusive husband, or somebody who just completely butchers their authority and their place. There's some really bad examples in our world today. And I am totally aware of that this morning. But under God's order, when we get these things right, in that gentle and quiet spirit, and the husbands, Christian husbands, you get it right. You understand your authority in the household under the head shepherd and the responsibility that we have. And Sarah and these ladies of old, they got this. And it says, "Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror," not living in that sort of dread and fear. And then he says in verse 7, "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding." Oh, how I grappled with that verse. Okay. Lord, how can you put that in the Bible? I cannot possibly fathom this creature that you have given me. I cannot understand. Okay? At any moment, things are just off the charts. Okay? I thought I had it all in place. I don't understand. At any other moment, it could just be absolutely wonderful. I'm like, what were the conditions that made that possible? I would like to take notes. It just doesn't work, my friends. Dwell with them with understanding. But Lord, it doesn't seem possible. No, it's understanding again this roles and the calling and the ranks, if you like. Dwell with them with understanding. And Peter says here, giving honor to the wife. Now, my friends, this is something foreign for the time in Peter's time. It was so male dominant at that time, and most of human history was always like that. The women were suppressed, okay? Christianity corrected that. Do you know that? Yes, women were suppressed. Even our religions today, as you know, women don't even have the same rights as men. And women are suppressed. But here it says, "Dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." Giving honor to the wife, okay? That gift that God gave Adam. And some people say that's why they were called woman, because when Adam saw her, he went, "Whoa, man." Okay? And he was so grateful for Eve, even though it went wrong after a while. But this helper that God had given him, giving honor to the woman, and the two are not the same, but the two come together as one flesh, and it's just a wonderful mystery, as Paul says, but it's speaking about Christ and his church. And so this honor that you give to the wife as to the weaker vessel, that they need that leading, that guidance, that place of feeling safe, that men would be men, I think is kind of the call today, isn't it? When men today are being, may I say, feminized because of modern culture. And there's a great call amongst many evangelicals and people of biblical worldview. Where are the men of today? That they can be genuine men and take the authority in their households and take the lead under the authority that God has given them. And we give this honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, being heirs together of the grace of life. You know, there's something wonderful Mike and Valentina mentioned, the gift of children. I was listening to a speech. Some of you maybe have followed some of the speeches at this ARC conference in London. A lot of it's sort of biblical worldview speeches and things from people all over the world. But one of the things that somebody said, you know, in the West, so one of the things that we are getting wrong is we are so clear on encouraging our children to get an education, to work hard, get a good job, get your house and all that stuff and all those things in order. Not bad things. But in this drive to do these things, we have forgotten to teach our children, you know, one day you also have to get married. You have to lead a household. You have to raise children. You know, people are sitting up and taking notice now when they're starting to see the figures of the birth rate in our country. If you've not ever seen it, my friends, it's shocking. We are below replacement rate, which means next generation, we're dying out. But look at other walks of life. Look at Islam, for instance. They average way, it's over 8 children per family. We average, I think, is 1.2, 1.3. Why is that? I had an interesting discussion with the children, senior students, this Friday, and asking them this very question as part of our PSHE lesson, which I get to share with them. And the things that they were saying was interesting. Some of them were saying, well, it's abortion. Yeah, that's one thing. We've learned how to kill babies because we don't want them. And sadly, one of the greatest means of doing abortion is under married couples. Why would that be? It's because they just don't want the inconvenience of children, because I want my nice house and my nice car and my nice holidays. You see, our attention has shifted to something completely different. And they're beginning to see this. And they're beginning to say, maybe it's because couples don't get married. They get married very later in life. Not always a bad thing, but there's not an emphasis on getting married and staying true to your spouse, starting a family together, and knowing God's blessings. We get this the wrong way around. I'm so grateful, you know. I know this is not a formula or anything, but I'm grateful Renee and I got married young because we made all our stupid mistakes together, okay? And we went through the knocks of life together. And now, you know, when the trials come, we just pull together. That illustration that Valentina gave is so, so profound, that as we draw closer to Jesus, we grow closer to each other. And so there's a wonderful, wonderful blessing that can be had in marriage. And my friends, and the blessing of family is huge. This is something God has given us. God has given us and made us custodians of this, to go and be fruitful and multiply, okay? And have children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. My late grandmother was so proud, both my late grandmother, so proud of their great-grandchildren. And seeing how many of them walking with the Lord. And I look at them and I think, what? Because they love the Lord. And they had the pictures of the grandchildren up on their walls. And I'd say, why are they all there? It's because they pray for them. And I always say to my grandma, it's your fault now I'm a preacher. Okay? You prayed. And that legacy that they leave, my friends, that's on us. If we become so selfish and we only think about our own life now, what selfish people are we? And so there's a huge, huge responsibility, may I say, particularly on the husbands, the men of the household, to rise up, take their place as the priest of the household. Say like Joshua did, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Yeah, it's not in a dictator type of way. But I think it would just be wonderful if our household turns to God because of the blessings that comes from that, the freedom and the joy. And I've heard testimonies of this where families, whole families, turn back to God. And just, oh, why did we waste all those years before? And so this is a huge challenge to each and every one of us. And Peter says this, my friends, this is to all married couples here, all those of you who are single and one day be married. This is a huge truth. Because if we don't get this right, Peter says, he says, in being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Now, believing married couples here this morning, I'm sure you'll agree with me. When it is not well, okay, in the household, between the Mr. and the Mrs., prayers are pretty much hindered, yeah? It's like that. It's been my experience, okay? And this is true. But when we come together, again, as that picture says, we come together under Jesus and we close together and you pray together as one flesh, my friends, those prayers are powerful and mighty in God. And that is great, great, great advice, biblical advice to any young couple. Pray, say, Lord, send me a godly husband, a godly wife. So often we think, well, I'll convert them later. And many times people, as Mike and Valentina mentioned, they get married before they were saved, you know. God's grace brought them to that place. But as a believer, I think it is your duty before God to pray and make that a priority to, Lord, send me a Christian husband or a Christian wife. Because it is so hard to say, well, I'll convert them later. Never an easy thing. But if you've got two Christians come together as one flesh, husband and wife, what a beautiful, powerful thing. And I can assure you, my friends, it's something Satan wants to wreck. And that is why praying for marriages like Graham and seeing them as examples and many other marriages here, successful marriages, they are a great example. Okay? And we need to keep praying for our young people, praying for marriages that they will be protected. But there is also this terrible truth that even I know in this place, there are many, many sad cases of failed marriages, failed households where things have gone wrong. And many times the enemy could want to put on you and say, you failed. Well, one thing we can see is when the enemy gets in, he wants to kill, steal, and destroy and wreck households, my friends. And I want to say to any family affected by that this morning, my friends, let the Lord be Lord of your family. Amen. You just come to Him as you are in the broken state that you are. Say, all these wonderful things I'm hearing about marriage and family this morning, that's not my experience. Well, you come to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus said, I have come into this world to heal the brokenhearted. My friends, to put together again those things that have been shattered in His way. And He can be the Lord of your household. And there are people, I've seen it, I admire people who are single moms, single dads, and they do a great job under the authority of God and His headship in teaching their children the ways of God. And we as a church have a privilege to support and to love them and pray for them in this. And be a father and a mother to some of these children who otherwise don't have these blessings that we have. My friends, this is a huge topic today that we must not ever, ever make light of, because it's all pointing to something so wonderful. Please turn with me to Revelation chapter 19. I just want to close with this. This is what it all points to. And this is why I believe when in the Bible it says God hates divorce. Okay, because it breaks the picture, this prophetic picture. And because of the hardness of people's heart, you know, the Lord said He allowed them to have a certificate of divorce because it goes wrong, because of our sins, because of our wrongdoings, adultery, and all these things that creep in. And then there's space, if you like, room being made in the Bible even so that there can be things like divorce. But God fundamentally, as it were, hates this thing. Because it's breaking this beautiful picture of Jesus and His bride. He will not divorce. He will not be unfaithful. We sang it this morning, faithful God. And He remains faithful throughout it all. And I love the book of Song of Solomon as we've studied it a few years ago. is that wonderful encounter where the beloved, who's the picture of Jesus, I believe, he comes knocking at her door and she's not ready and she's like, oh, I've taken off my sandals and my robe, not now, Jesus, not now. And she, in a way, rejects him, eventually opens the door, but he's now gone, okay? He left, he went on with his business, and there's a great tragedy and a sadness in her heart, but eventually when she finds him, he doesn't even rebuke her, he just welcomes her back and heaps praises on her again. This is our faithful Jesus. Even when we're unfaithful to him at times, he just, when we come back to him, he's just, my child, come back. Powerful picture. And there's a day coming, my friends. Oh, the day's coming. The day is coming when the marriage supper of the Lamb will take place. Hallelujah. And we read about this in Revelation chapter 19 from verse 7. And if you read this whole chapter through, there's four times that this word hallelujah comes up. I believe it's the only four times, particularly in the New Testament, this word comes up. It comes up four times in one chapter. Praise be to God. It says verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. Who is the bride of Christ? It's his church, my friends. There is a duty on the bride. Even in modern weddings today, the bride is almost, you could say, obsessed with getting herself ready. As I heard one man once say, I'm convinced she married the wedding and not me. Okay? She's just focused on the wedding day. But it's something, even as little girls, you're looking forward to that day when they see, the royal weddings and all that. One day they're going to wear that dress and walk down the aisle and get married. And they want to be sure there's no spot, there's no wrinkle. I am ready, I'm clean. Okay? It's a beautiful picture. Even in our modern world, some of these things still come through. Let us be glad and rejoice. And it says, for his wife has made herself ready. My friends, are you ready? Because that day may come sooner than we think. Okay? And we need to be without spot and wrinkle. How do we get cleansed? By the blood of Jesus. It's by making sure that we are walking in that forgiveness and in that faith in him, okay? And then it says in verse 8, and to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen. And I can assure you, this is going to be something way beyond what we've ever known. Clean and bright, for the linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Ask yourself this morning, what righteous acts am I doing? Not acts unto salvation, but what righteous work am I doing as the bride of Christ in anticipation for this day? Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these things are the true sayings of God. My friends, this is a day that is coming. It is coming soon. Now, one thing I want to say to us and leave with you this morning, okay, if you've ever studied this ancient Jewish wedding, Galilean wedding, for those of you who have ever looked into the truths of this and the symbolisms in that, how the betrothal worked, when the betrothal, that cup was given, it was accepted, and then the bridegroom goes away, he begins to prepare a place at his father's house, an extension, okay, where they will live, and he takes his time, and he builds, and he only goes to fetch his bride when the father gives the go-ahead. My friends, the symbolism is astonishing. And God would say to his son, go fetch your bride. And in the meantime, the bride is using all that time to get ready for that day, because she doesn't know what day or hour he's going to appear and that trumpet's going to sound and all these people are going to come and the day of the wedding is now coming. And she's going to be sure, I'm ready. Everything is in place. And I always like to remind myself and say this to each and every one of us. I think that calling away to be with Jesus is going to be for those who are genuinely looking for it. Now, I don't mean studying the scriptures and just trying to work out when it is and what. I mean it's those who are like a bride, can't wait for that day. My bridegroom, where are you? When are you coming back, man? I want to start our life together. I can't wait. All the promises when Jesus said, my father's house are many dwelling places. If it weren't so, I would have told you. I will come to you, and where I will be, there you will be. He's talking about getting married. He is now preparing a place for his bride. What an anticlimax it will be if he come and people were like, "Oh no, I wasn't ready now. Gosh, I thought we had at least another 20 years. You know, my Lord, I've taken my sandals off like in Song of Solomon. I'm not ready for you. Not now. The timing's not right now." I'm convinced in my own heart, I say that to you this morning, I want to be sure I'm always saying, "Lord, when? How long? How long?" When I see the things happening in this world, I look up, "Lord, how long? How long before I go to be with my Lord?" And I know, so we shall ever be with the Lord. My friends, I ask you this morning, are you ready? Are you washed, as we sang that song this morning, washed in the blood? Are you cleansed? Have your iniquities been taken away? And I ask Dave and Jill, if you want to come up, if you've got a song the Lord's laid on your heart. I just read this in closing from Isaiah 59. It says, "Behold, the Lord's hands is not shortened that he cannot save, nor his ear heavy that he cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that you will not hear, for your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity, and your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue has muttered perversity." My friends, that is how we stand before God in our own flesh, separated from him. But he has come through his Son, and he has paid for our sins. That is what we remember. The finished work of Jesus, the blood that was shed once and for all, that now brings us near back to our Father in heaven, that we may become the righteousness of God in him. And before him we stand clean, in pure, white, bright clothing that we don't deserve. But because we're his bride, that is what's bestowed upon us, my friends. Oh, that we would only just look to him and say, "Lord, I can't wait to see you as you are." Amen. Lord, I pray that you'll help us this morning as we think about more of this wonderful prophetic thing that you have given humanity, the marriage that is pointing to the marriage that is to come. I pray that each and every one of us, we would be ready. Lord, where there be spots and wrinkles on our garments today, we can come before you. Your word says if we confess our sins before you, you are faithful. Lord, you will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you continue to do so when we walk in you and walk in that forgiveness. Lord, I pray that you will help us this morning. Show us whatever is in our lives here today that is not right, that we will put it right, so that when that trumpet should sound, Lord, the last moment of our life should come and we breathe our last, we will be ever and always with the Lord, our bridegroom. And Lord, I pray this morning for every marriage, every household, every family. I just pray that you shower your blessings upon them. Lord, as we prayed for Mike and Valentina, our desire, and I know is theirs too, is that every marriage would be blessed. Every future marriage, every household will be blessed. All the single people here still looking, Lord, and looking unto you. Lord, that you add to them that right person at the right time, Father, and then they will enter into this covenant that you've given and know something of your blessings of that and the responsibility of that. Lord, I pray for every broken household this morning. Lord, every household that's been shattered by the just the pressures of life and the things that got too much at times. And Lord, I just pray for a blessing upon their lives and a blessing upon their homes. Every single mom, every single dad, Lord, every child that has lost a parent or a grandparent or whatever it may be, Lord, I pray your blessings upon them and that you would be that father to them and you would be the person in place of those that should be there and aren't. But Lord, that you give them the strength to continue and that one day we know whether we are broken now or we have it all together even now, we will be complete in you one day in that great marriage supper of the Lamb. And so, Lord, we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Dave.
Amen. Are you ready? Earlier, Dion prayed, "Praise God for normal blessings flow." So let's just sing that.